go on tour, looking on the subject that was announced, and that is we are to have a gospel basis. We are to have word from Jesus Christ in reference to what we preach, in reference to what we believe, in reference to our life and conduct, in reference to our worship, all the areas of our lives that we want to relate in a pleasing way to God, we must be guided in those areas by a thus saith the Lord. We must. We are coming from the point of view of right in the time where religious falsehood and the sum of its terrible and negative effect is still in the atmosphere, because we are not out of the discussion in reference to the tragedy in St. James of church leader wanting to carry out human sacrifice, and the fact that men and women subject themselves to certain things. The point today is that we are not allowed by God to operate from what we feel if we are going to please Him. We are not allowed by God to operate by what we like if we are going to please God. We are not allowed by God to operate on the basis of this looks good to me or sound good. It is the wise man Solomon who says that there is a way that appears or seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we are not. In fact, it was what man thought. What looks good to man. What men and women sincerely felt that brought sin into the world. So God did not leave pleasing Him up to us. In fact, the stage is set by Jesus Christ. In the book of Matthew, notice this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, let us hear verse 4. Quick.
But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone."
That's verse 4. Verse 7.
Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy
God." Verse 10.
Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written."
You notice this is God. Are we all there? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Couldn't Jesus Christ just tell what He feel? No, Christ felt under compulsion to show that He is going by that which is written. And this is not the only place. Let us turn to the passage that is Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, verse 10. Let us look at Luke chapter 4, verse 17. Mm-hmm. And somebody turned the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 3. Let us hear it.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
The one of the Old Testament book was delivered to Jesus Christ.
And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
Brothers and sisters, we must always find the place where it is written. When it comes to any belief, any teaching, any practice, as it relates to our relationship with God, our trying to please God, we must not only open the book, we must find where it is written. Because my contention, if the Son of God felt he had to find the place where it was written, shouldn't we? Look at the passage of Romans, chapter 4 and verse 3.
For what saith the scripture?
For what saith the scripture?
Abraham believed God.
Watch here. The inspired apostle, this great witness of Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul, reasoning with the Christians at Rome through this letter. And he told them what was God's plan and what happened to this person. But then he felt a need to appeal to the authority of the scripture. What the verse says, brother, verse 3?
For what saith the scripture?
For what saith the scripture? Are we all there? When it comes to what we preach, we need to find out what saith the scripture. In fact, let me get down to be more specific. What saith the gospel? That's right. You see, I can find what saith the scripture, and that might be Old Testament, that is not for me or you. So we are under compulsion by the Almighty God to find in the gospel what we preach, what we believe, what we practice, to guide our lives and our conduct, to guide our worship. We must find where, not only where it is written, but what saith the scripture. Look at the passage of 1 Corinthians. If my memory serves me right, it is chapter 4 and I believe verse 6.
And these things.
These things.
Brethren.
I have in a figure transfer
to myself and to Apollos.
What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? I'm applying it to Apollos and to myself.
For your sake.
For your sake.
That he might learn.
That you might learn.
In us.
Wait now. You may exempt the italic. That is, you're coming upon two words that's supposed to be, I don't know if the electronic Bible you're using, don't put it like that, but the two words of men supposed to be in italic, telling us that the translator felt the need to add it. But now, if we read it the way it is, it exists in the original manuscript, is that these things I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos, that you may learn in us not, help me here, not to think
of men,
above that which is
written.
So we need to let that which is written be our guide. Wait, Brother Mitchell, remind us where you're coming from. The point is, if we set out, those of us who preach and teach and whatever, set out to follow the gospel of Christ, tragedy and catastrophe like happening in Montego Bay will never happen. That's right. Wait, no. I reason with people all the time to the fact that, have you ever wondered why Jesus Christ and the Almighty God allow slavery? Now, I didn't say brought slavery in. I said allow slavery. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Slavery existed in the New Testament church. One of the books of the New Testament was written to a slave master. Philemon, old slave. In fact, it was as a result of one of Philemon's slaves break away, run away from his slavery. Because remember, you know, a slave was like a thing. You were owned by your master. And Philemon ran away, and having run away, he met the gospel through Paul, was taught and converted. And then Paul sent him back. Of course, while this is not what I'm doing, let me just drop this by. When Paul sent him back to Onesimus, his slave master, Paul told Philemon, when he sent back Onesimus, he told Philemon, don't receive him anymore as a slave, but as a brother. I'm just dropping by that in case we read and don't see that. But what is the point? People is always saying, well, Christianity permits slavery, and if it is wrong, why God? You know why? God is a God of order. And the Almighty God in his wisdom saw that it was better for the Christian to suffer and bear some of the ill treatment of slavery than to try to violently overthrow it and therefore suffer more harm and more harm done to the church. The Almighty God knew that sooner or later, and sooner it was, Christianity would deal with slavery. God knows that. So people are always wondering, why slavery? No, God, it was Christianity all over the world. Abraham Lincoln, name them, that had something to do with the freeing of slavery, be it in the U.S. and other places. It was because they were touched by the word of God. What is the point? The point, brothers and sisters, is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that in us you may learn
not to think of men,
not to think of men
above that which is written,
above that which is written,
that no one of you,
stop there. As I was saying, what we preach must be based on that which is written. What we believe must be based on that which is written, and as I said, primarily the gospel. What we practice must be based on that which is written, primarily the gospel. Our worship must be guided by that which is written, the gospel. Our life and conduct must be guided by that which is written. So may I repeat and remind you again? If all over you have men and women going by that which is written, the tragedy that happened in Montego Bay would never have happened. Because Jesus Christ is a savior of order. I've repeated that the Almighty God has never accepted human sacrifice. Even in the case of Abraham asked to give Isaac his son, even in the case of Jephthah, who had committed his daughter to God, God has never accepted human sacrifice. So in these passages, Jesus Christ set the stage, and it is followed by his apostle that we are to be guided by that which is written, and primarily that which is written in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Following the word of Jesus Christ in our teaching, in our belief, in our life and conduct, in our worship, is the only way that we are going to be pleasing to God and to be accepted by Him. If we seek to serve God out of how we feel, how we think, how we see things, how things look to us, we will never please God. However acceptable our action and religious activities may look to us and others, it must never be based on our feeling and how it looks to you and me. It must be based on God's revelation. In every aspect of our religious, spiritual life, it must be guided by God's word. May I? In fact, in these four areas, I'm going to give you, thus saith the Lord. And then, that in our teaching and preaching, there must be a thus saith the Lord. In our belief, there must be a gospel basis. In our religious practice, that includes worship, etc., there must be a thus saith the gospel. In our life and conduct, there must be a thus saith the gospel in all of them. But even before we go here, note some of the things that God's revelation, the Bible, has said about the word of God, both Old and New Testament. Some of the things said about the word of God by the scripture. Just, you know, most, if not all of you, are well acquainted with these passages, or at least some of them. But it is instructive and enlightening to remember some of what the Bible says about God's word. We are told that God's word is tried. Yes, T-R-I-E-D, tried. That means God's word has been tested. And the concept there, it never fails. Look at the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 31. The same wording is found in Psalms 18:30. Quick. I want to run off these passages to get to something else. Yes.
2 Samuel 22:31. And it reads, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him."
Thank God. God's ways is perfect. It is without flaw. And what happened to his word? It is tried. And that means it is tried and never found wanting. God's word never fails. As I've said, the same wording the brothers just read is found in the book of Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. But we will skip that since it has been read. Secondly, here another one. God reveal himself through his word. There is no way you are going to know God the way you are to know him, the way he wants you to know him, without his word. But Brother Mitchell, don't you preach here that we can know God through his creation, that is, by his, W-O-R-K-S, yes. You know God's son by his works, his creative work. But you can never know God the way you are to, unless you consult God's revealed word. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21.
"And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord."
You hear how he reveals himself by his word. And this is indirectly telling us that to know God, you have to consult his word. Let us go to another one. When you reject and disrespect and depreciate God's word, God will also reject you or me. We turn it around, Brother Mitchell. Any man or woman show disregard and disrespect for God's word, you are inviting God to disregard and disrespect you. No man can afford for God to disrespect him or her. We all need God to be mindful of us, to attend to our need, to guide, protect, and be with us. Reject his word, God does the same to you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Let us hear it.
"For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord."
Take time with that, brother. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord,
he hath also rejected thee.
Brothers and sisters, may I just drop this? This is based on the same principle we read in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, following about God will send you strong. Delusion. Help me here. Strong delusion. When men and women turn away from God's word, feeling or acting like they are wiser than God, they can instruct God, they can correct God, and what they think is better than what God has revealed. When men and women do that, the Almighty God will reject them. Let us be aware. What it says, brother?
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft,
uh-huh,
and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Uh-huh.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord,
uh-huh,
he hath also rejected thee.
Watch it. The brother is reading from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, eh? And that is verse 23, eh?
Yes.
Well, you have just read that because you have rejected what?
The word of the Lord.
He has also rejected. This is always so. Now, read verse 26 also.
And Samuel said unto Saul,
mm-hmm,
I will not return with thee.
Wait. They are going to part company. So Saul, King Saul, hasn't gotten the message yet. Even though Samuel made it as plain as he could. They are parting company. So King Saul said, okay, Samuel, I'll see you tomorrow or next week. Samuel said,
I will not return with thee.
I will not return
with thee.
With thee.
For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord.
But Samuel, you had just said that a few minutes ago. Why repeat it? It's that important that men learn that when we reject God's word, when we shut the Bible and go doing our own thing, what we think, what we like, what we want. That's why, Solomon, there's a way which seems it right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we turn from God's word, we are turning from God's help, God's guidance, God's aid, God's direction. So this is why this important message had to be repeated. Verse 23 and verse 26, the same thing. When you reject God's word, he will reject you. Turn it around, telling us, respect God's word. Depend on God's word. Follow God's word. Let's move on to another one. We are just looking on some of the things that the Bible says about God's word. Brothers and sisters, we can use a term that David was immortalized. David was immortalized because of his respect for God's word. Brother Mitchell, was David a perfect man? No. Was David a sinless man? No. But you know what? The Almighty God acknowledged David's respect for what? For what?
The word of God.
That's right. And for this reason, throughout the Old Testament, especially beginning from Samuel, David, throughout the New Testament. Look here in the book of First Chronicles. 1 Kings chapter 11, 33 through verse 38. We are looking on some of the things the Bible says about the Word of God. 1 Kings 11, verse 33 through 38.
Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, back up because I'm lost. This is where David died. May I? David at this time had died. He was dead. And different kings. Reign. So something happened that God had to speak through the prophet. Read now.
Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth.
You see, they had, wait. They had drifted who? The Gentiles, Brother Mitchell? No. God's people, the Israelites. Had drifted so far from God's word. What did I say? So far from God's word. Did I say from God's word? Yes. Had drifted so far from God's word. Worshipping idol looked like perfect worship to them. They had turned to worshipping the things that they made with their own hands. Read on, brother.
Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways.
Watch here now. They have not walked in my ways. May I? Hold the passage. That's all God asks us to do today too. To walk in the ways of the gospel. Read on, brother.
And have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father.
You notice who is the standard? You notice who is the standard? They did not do like my. David had been dead. But the statement the brother has just read about as David, my servant, that has occurred about 3 to 4 times between the book of King Samuel and Chronicles. Where over and over the Almighty God used David as the standard. Not because he was sinless, but because even in the man's failure, he shows reverence and respect for the word of God. In fact, brother, read some more.
Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake.
I was about to use a person as an illustration, but person is not here. It's like God. It's like David was God's pet. No. The Almighty God wants men and women to respect his word and not to treat it like the word of men. So this is why here is a man did some things that were contrary to God's will, but in all of those, there was the respect for God's word. So here in the first place, the king who is now being rebuked in the passage is reminded that he did not walk in God's ways, that is God's statutes and judgment. When the Bible talk about statues judgment, it is talk about the word of God. That's right, statues and judgment. Always remember. Now, it talk about how you have not walked as David walked. Then what he has just said, God said, I'm going to let you be king still. That's right. I could wipe you out, but I'm going to let you remain king until such time. But you know why I'm doing it? For my servant David's sake. David had been dead. But God still, in fact, there are some more there still, brother. What verse are you?
Verse 34.
Read on.
For David's my servant's sake, whom I choose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes.
You all hear that? That is applicable to us. For David, this was the Ten Commandments. Huh? For us, it is the gospel. What is the point? We are called upon to depend on God's word to guide our spiritual life, our moral life, our worship life, our conduct. We are called upon to respect that God's word is the standard. May I? You see, when you respect God's word as the standard, when you fall below its standard, you accept that you are in wrong. When you make what you think and what you feel and what you want your standard, many times, even when you're wrong, it's staring you in the face, you cannot see it. Because of the subjectivity by which you are guided only by what you feel, how you see things. No, God's word is bigger than any of us. And that's the standard. Read on, brother, some more.
But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have
God,
a light.
God, we are tired here of David. No, God, not me, not Carl Mitchell. Here in one passage, the Almighty God in heaven, the great Jehovah God, David. Huh? And somebody, but David was no angel. Well, we know that. But for some of us, we recognize why God, in a sense, immortalized the man. Because of this factor. Respect for God's word. So throughout these verses from verse 33 to 38, the Almighty God keep reminding the audience that the prophet was speaking to and the king about the standard that David set in respect to his attitude towards God's word. Lord of mercy. Let us go on to a few more things the Bible show or tell. You know, God's word outlives everything. First Peter chapter 1, just run through that quick. Verse 22 following, run through that quick, brother. First Peter chapter 1.
Verse 1.
Yes, chapter 1, verse 22 following, quick.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Watch here now. Why are we at this passage? I'm showing you another thing that the Bible tells us about God's word, and that God's word outlives everything. God's word is immortal. Let us hear it.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
You purify. Now, we need to be purified. And here we are told that it is the truth that purifies us. That's right.
Amen.
Of course, what is the truth, Mr. Mitchell? It is the word of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. St. John 17, 17. So here he's telling them, seeing you have done what?
Purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Everybody hear that? That's quite relevant to us, you know, brothers and sisters. There is no way you and I can stand pure in God's sight without the word. Read on.
Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Read on.
See that ye love one another
mm-hmm.
with a pure heart fervently,
mm-hmm.
being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
Wait, if we are going to be recreated, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. That's right. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. In fact, the word creature there is really creation, the Greek word. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That cannot come about without the word. That's what the brother has just read. Read on.
Being born again.
Being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
But of incorruptible.
But of incorruptible mean it cannot be corrupted, it cannot decay, it cannot get old.
By the word of God.
It is the word of God that is the incorruptible seed.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
Did you all hear that? The word of God lives and abides forever. More is in it, you know.
For all flesh is as grass.
What he has to remind us, you know, that you know, the word of God is so much above us. Huh? There are times when it comes to me, friends that have been dear to me in my life, and I hate to think that, you know, sometimes when I think that Brother Walker is not here anymore, you know, because he has impacted my life in so many ways. And many other people. Sometimes I think about certain grandparents of mine. Oh my God, one of my grandmother. We always had to pass his house when we are coming from school. And she was such a kind woman that when we are coming from school, we can go straight and go over where our mother lived. But we climb the hill and go up to our grandmother, because if the pot is on fire and if the food is not ready, she will tear piece of banana leaf. Oh my God, what a day those were. Tear piece of banana leaf and find something in the pot that is ready and put it in the banana leaf and give us. You see, we can swallow that before we go over our yard. When I think about people like that, they are no more here. And many people, some people are just good friends. My friend Kate Dusu, it was he who helped to furnish the funds to refurbish the church office, my office there. We have known each other from I was about 22, 23 when I went to college at first, and remain good friends until he died. And these are people, when I think about them, what is the point, Brother Mitchell? We die, huh? Huh? The word of God does not. Read now, brother, where you stop for.
For all flesh is as grass.
All flesh, including you and me. We are just like the vegetation out there. Read.
And all the glory of man.
And, oh my God. What a lot of glory man create now, huh? Huh? Oh Lord. Sometimes when I think about the cars, You see a nice car on the road. And then in another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, the new one they build make that one not look so nice again. That's the way. Then these manufacturers, they have a way of redesigning things so that you will put aside the one you have that is serving you well just for the new one. Are we there? The glory of man, it doesn't matter what it is, it passes. It does not live forever. In fact, some of it, you know what I think about computer. As you buy a computer and it is 2 or 3 years old, you hear that you have to get a new one. My God, why don't they make them with more longevity? Because they won't make as much money. Huh? That's why I've said that the fashion designer, don't expect me to put my good suit one side and buy the, it's the in thing now. Ah? But you see, brothers and sisters, the things that man, it doesn't matter what man does. It's only for a time. Read now, brother.
And all the glory of man,
mm-hmm,
as the flower of grass,
uh-huh,
the grass withereth,
mm-hmm,
and the flower thereof falleth away.
Uh-huh. That's a fact. Read on.
But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Thank God for that. God's word, it has no dying. That's right. It lives forever. God's word is not like man's word. Can we see if we find one or two more? Because time has gone. A passage all of us know is that God's word is nutriment. Huh? God's word nourishes the soul. 1 Peter 2:2. Quick.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Passage like this is great passage, you know, brothers and sisters. We must like new baby who is almost always hungry. Every minute they want mama's breast, they want food, they want something to eat. And in fact, I may just drop this along. Don't quarrel on the little children, be it the 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, every minute they want food, because that is normal. Huh? Well, the Bible is telling us that's the way we should when it comes to the word of God. Huh? Huh? But we come up with every devilish excuse, sometimes not to be in worship, not to come and hear God's word. Not realizing that sometimes the very discussion or lesson we miss is the one we need. We must like new baby who are always hungry, but we are hungry for the word of God. And let me give you this last passage. I can't end. Remember, you know, I have not yet gone to show you that the Bible does teach that every aspect of us relating to God in a pleasing way must be guided by the gospel. I've not yet reached here. No, what we are dealing with is some of the things the Bible says about the word of God. But in respect to our worship, in respect to our life and conduct, in respect to our belief, in respect to our teaching, preaching, I want to take up these one by one and show you that the Bible tells us that these activities must find a basis in the gospel of Christ if we are going to be pleasing to God. But we cannot go there this week. I'm going to end most likely with this passage found in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. Let us hear.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud.
May I? Are you there? What rain comes in this, Brother Mitchell? The Holy Spirit, through the prophet, is using how the rain works, the water and how it works with how God's word works. When the rain comes, it accomplishes something. It accomplishes that for which it was meant by God to accomplish. It's no accident that farming depends so much on rainfall or water. That's the way the Almighty God designed it and fixed it. Read that verse again, verse 10, brother.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
You see, it comes right down to feeding us, taking care of our physical needs. Thank God for rain. Read that now.
So shall my word.
Wait. So shall my
word.
Are we all there? So shall my word. Watch here now. Read.
So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void.
Stop there. We are closing. Yes, you know the passage. It's important that you understand what it means. The illustration used by the prophet using rain is good for us to keep in mind. That the rain is no accident. While the Almighty God set laws, geographical laws, that determine rainfall and a lot of what man does interfere with that geographical laws, we still need water, rain, you see? And what the prophet is showing is the same way with the word of God. It shall what?
It shall not return unto me void.
Watch it. The rain did not return to God void. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? The rain accomplished that for which it was meant by God. As a result of the rain, the plant that we plant grow up and bear, we are fed. That's the intent God had in mind for the rain. God said, in the same way with his word, it shall not return unto God empty. That's what the word void means, you know. Empty. But
it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
You notice who sent the word? God. In the things which I please, brothers and sisters, God's word has one of two goals in it. First, it is meant for your spiritual health and restoration, enlightenment, betterment, your ultimate salvation, God's word. Are we there? But you see, when you reject that same word of God is meant for your condemnation. nation. And it will never go back to God empty-handed. It will accomplish one of its two goals or objectives. It saves you, bring you salvation, bring you enlightenment, bring you fellowship with God, or it will bring you condemnation. God's word never go back to him and say, me get nothing done this time, you know, Father God. Not God's word. It always accomplishes that which God meant for it. God's word saves or it condemns. Much more could be said about God's word. You know, I won't have time to tell you. God's word is animated. It is alive. Bible tells us it is quick and it is sharper. Oh, there's so much, brothers and sisters. When we come back, I do want to spend a little time on showing that in these four areas of our lives, those areas where we strive to please God, that is, the things we teach and preach, we must have it based on what the gospel says. Our faith, our belief must base on what the gospel says. Our life and conduct must be based on what the gospel says. Our worship can be vain. Worship can, in fact, let me, time to dismiss. Are you here today? You are not a child of God? Then there is no better time to come. Because, when you obey God's word begin to work in you, work on you for your betterment. And God's word is the instrument that the Almighty God meant to do that job. God's word is alive. God's word can put spiritual life in you and make you live this life with hope and expectation for the life to come. If you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, if you have never become a part of the church that Christ built that you can read about in the Bible with its identifying marks, we are encouraging you to step forward today believing, because you must, from what God's word says. Not only believing, repenting, you must repent of your sin. Confessing your faith in Christ, you must. And getting baptized for the removal of your sin. You can step forward today. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family. And if you're a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, Christ gives you this moment to come and seek the prayer of the church and recommitting of your life. As we stand, Christ calls in love.